altar at all of our ISKCON temples. In disciplic succession, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. You visited the house yesterday where Bhakti Vinod Thakur conducted his preaching. You've heard the history of Bhaktivinoda Thakur shifting from Puri to service with the British government in Krishnanagar. Maybe you noticed in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house there was a train track. Before Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived there, there was no train. The British government built it for Bhaktivinoda Thakur so that he could ride from Godrumdweep to Krishnanagar to do his daily service. Before, that area where you were yesterday was literally a jungle. Literally a jungle means when the devotees in the very, very, very early days, before we have the Mayapur campus that you see today, it was just very simple. It was a jungle. When the devotees would come, once it was reported they saw a tiger. Bengal tiger. He was friendly. He went the other way when he saw all the devotees. So what to speak of some 100 years previously when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there in the late 1880s. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was initiated not by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, but he accepted Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj as his Shiksha Guru. And they met in Vrindavan in the year 1880 when Bhaktivinoda Thakur made one of many pilgrimages to Vrindavan. And they were both already followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj had received initiation in disciplic line, including his Babaji initiation. There's a history of that. But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a grihastha, who had 10 children, those of you that have one, imagine having 10 children, and an employee of the government agency, he had requirements of social obligation as well as daily duties in his government post. But that was not the criterion for associating or not associating with Babaji. It was the Krishna consciousness, the attraction to Krishna and Krishna Katha, and the love of the service of the Vaishnavas. Just like here at this yatra, it's very nice to see so many devotees getting so much opportunity to serve the devotees. It's just an ocean of service. And if the services are taken up in that mood, that this is an opportunity to serve the devotees of the Lord, then it's very nice. And if that's not the mood, then someone is thinking, why do I have to stand here and hold the garbage bag while everybody comes and puts their garbage in the garbage bag, or clean the floor after everybody, or something, something. Chase the dog away, or... It's service to the devotees. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Vrindavan in 1880 and met Jagannath Das Babaji, who at that time, he was known as Siddha Baba. So we hear these things thrown around very lightly these days. But why he was called Siddha Baba was because it was a regular practice for Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj to chant continuously for 3 days without eating and without sleeping, just chanting. Try it. 3 days, non-stop, no eating, no drinking, no sleeping, just chanting. And on the fourth morning, he would break his fast. One of the challenges for Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta was that there were so many, 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 too many persons who were imitating Rupa Goswami by taking the vesha or the dress of a Babaji without having the qualification. Imitating without the qualification is a big disturbance. And the whole of the respectability of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings had gone down because of so much imitation of the outward without the qualification inward. Better to have the qualification inward and act outwardly in an appropriate manner to any situation. That's like Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit. When we visited Srivas Angan, there were two at the end of that boundary wall, Advaita Bhavan and Gadadhar Angan. So we'll speak a little bit about Gadadhar Pandit. He was a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, age-wise. They went to school together. Mahaprabhu, in the beginning of his Leela, did not display devotion. He displayed unexcelled scholarship. Unexcelled, although he was a small boy, he was known as the most learned person in all of Navadvipa. It was he who everyone sent Keshava Kashmiri to for debate. And Mahaprabhu defeated Keshava Kashmiri, as well as all of the other teachers and students left and right. He was super scholar. His dear classmate, Gadadhar Pandit, was super bhakta. He had no interest in anything material. He had no interest in scholarship, in the mundane kind of scholarship. And yet, in his bhava, he's Radha, and Nimai was Krishna, so he was attracted to Krishna, but couldn't tolerate being around him. Couldn't tolerate being without him, and couldn't tolerate being with him, because it was always wrangling and arguing and debating. And so, one time, when a great Vaishnava came to town, to Navadvipa, who previously had lived at the same village as Mukunda had lived, Mukunda knew the glory of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, so he wanted to take his friend Gadadhar Pandit to go meet him. And he went to go meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi. What Gadadhar saw shocked him. Because Gadadhar, again, since childhood, had only interest in bhakti and had no interest in worldly things. And he saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi looking like a super materialist, lying on a very beautiful decked silk bench with big silk pillows and long beautiful hair and perfumes and glasses of all different types of drinks and beverages, someone fanning him as he's reclining. And in comes Gadadhar Pandit thinking, why is Mukunda bringing me here to see this materialist? But Mukunda knew. He knew the heart of Gadadhar, and he knew the heart of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And so Mukunda was an excellent singer, and so he sang a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse that he described from Srimad Bhagavatam is a very nice verse. It's a verse which describes Krishna entering into the forest with the cowherd boys. It describes the gait or the walking of Krishna, and the beautiful hair of Krishna, the beautiful eyes of Krishna, a little blue flower perched on the corner of Krishna's ear, and his flute pressed to his mouth, calling the cows to join him as he was entering into the forest of Vrindavan. When Pundarik heard that verse sung by the beautiful voice of Mukunda, he went mad in ecstasy. His whole body began trembling, and like convulsion, he started moving and moving and fell off his big seat and all the tables with all their drinks and beverages, and everything went flying in all directions. Mukunda kept singing, and Pundarik kept hearing and going deeper and deeper into a mood of ecstasy. Gadadhar Pandit could right away understand, this isn't epilepsy. This is transcendental ecstasy. And I've offended this great personality within my mind. I didn't say anything disrespectful. Pundarik Vidyanidhi had asked, who is this that you've brought with you? What is his name and who is his father? So he gave his name and gave his father's name. So he had an idea. Gadadhar Pandit hadn't spoken anything, but he was thinking, materialistic. Why did my friend Mukunda bring me here? Now he understood. Because he's not materialistic, although externally it appeared. When Pundarik Vidyanidhi regained external consciousness, Gadadhar Pandit approached him very humbly and said, I thought very bad things, very ill things towards you. And that was wrong, because I didn't understand who you are, but now I understand who you are. More than just asking for you to forgive me for that mental offense, but please accept me as your disciple. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who externally appeared to be a very worldly person, became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit, who appeared in his exhibition of his childhood mood as having no attraction for anything worldly, very austere and very, very devoted to Krishna. So the place of meeting was attraction for Krishna. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was not attached to anything material, because someone attached to material cannot enter into those transcendental feelings. Material attachment blocks one from transcendental feelings. So same with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Not exactly the same as Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He didn't have long hair and perfume and fancy paraphernalia all around him. But he was a householder, and a very effective householder at that. But his and a worldly person, very scholarly, having fulfilling all social duties in life. But his crowning quality was his deep love and attraction for Krishna that he had gained through the association of Krishna's devotees, the qualified devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur met Siddha Baba, Jagannath Das Babaji, they were in ecstasy being together. The 3 days became 11 days. They had an 11-day festival of all day long hearing and chanting in kirtan, Krishna Katha. At the end, a big feast paid for by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And from that time, very strong affinity, affection between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji was established. Meanwhile, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's residence was here, or as you visited yesterday, in Godrumdweep on the other side of the Ganges River and the other side of the Jalangi from our now Sridham Mayapur. It was during that time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the Yogpith, just because you heard the details before. He discovered that this was not the birthplace of Mahaprabhu on the eastern bank of the Ganga, but on the western, just as the scriptures described again and again. All the accounts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela always described the birthplace of Mahaprabhu or the house of Jagannath Mishra on the western bank of the Ganga. So he had that vision. He went to the place and spoke with the brahmanas and found no nitalsi would grow and so on. So he arranged to acquire the land. Then from here, he invited Jagannath Das Babaji, who had shifted in 1887. Jagannath Das Babaji, at the time, yes, at the time when Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji first met, Jagannath Das Babaji was 113 years old. Think about that, 113 years old, an 11-day festival. He moved here upon the encouragement of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here's a Siddha Baba associating with a grahastha, with 10 kids, and a government job. They were seeing beyond the externals. They were seeing the essence of Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. So at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's invitation, Jagannath Das Babaji came here to Navadvip. And after some time, he made this very place his residence. At the time, it wasn't all that so many houses built up. It was, as you can imagine, quiet. I'll describe some of the leelas of Jagannath Das Babaji in a moment. You'll see he likes secluded places. That was his liking. Quiet, peaceful, and chanting the holy name. So, here's a very nice depiction of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj being carried in a basket by his servant. So he was brought to the birthplace of Mahaprabhu and literally jumped high in the air out of the basket, declaring, "This is the place of Mahaprabhu's birth." From one who had spiritual vision, I think I'll jump ahead just to tell one leela. Because he was so spiritually elevated and was so wise. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him the title Sarvabhauma, the leader of all the Vaishnavas, the self-effulgent Acharya who was leading all other Acharyas, himself included. One time, one very wealthy landholder, aristocratic man, very finely dressed with his entourage, came here to this little quiet place and asked Jagannath Das Babaji if he could demonstrate a miracle. Srinath Roy was his name. And Jagannath Das Babaji shook his head. He said, I can't perform miracles. I only know how to chant the holy name of the Lord. I can't do any miracles. Then suddenly, much to everyone's surprise, Jagannath Das Babaji picked up a stick and started banging the stick on the ground. And the man, Srinath Roy, the landholder, thought, oh, we've offended Babaji Maharaj. So they started backing off like, we're in trouble now. And Jagannath Das Babaji looked at them and said, no, no, you've made no offense. It's just that at the Samadhi Mandir of Lokanath Goswami at Radhakund, right now one goat is going to eat the tulsi plant in front of his mandir. So I'm chasing him away. And Srinath Roy thought, what's the power of this Babaji here? So he went to Navadvip town and he sent a telegram to somebody who knew in Vrindavan to find out, did this happen? Sure enough, it happened. At the very time that Jagannath Das Babaji was beating the ground with a stick and he was chasing the goat away. To his servant, Bihari Lal said, why did you do that? He said, because he wanted to see some magic. Some people, they don't have any faith in Mahaprabhu, and they only have faith in external things. So I showed him some magic. But that was the platform of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Who can understand? So when he went to the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, his confirmation, this is the place, this is not just yes, but an uncontrolled ecstasy. That is the platform of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And it's for that reason that Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted him as his Shiksha Guru. There's other details I don't need to go into. The person from whom Bhaktivinoda Thakur received Diksha was in a line, unbroken line of disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but his Diksha Guru wasn't presenting proper Siddhanta. He had deviated in some ways. Bhaktivinoda, it's an etiquette lesson here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not reject him, but rather he took shelter of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. In fact, of one of the final books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, which is a very, very beautiful compendium of verses according to topics, much like the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami are according to topic. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did was, from Srimad Bhagavatam, which he was an ardent lover of, he took the topics of the Bhagavatam, indexed them, and then extracted verses to flow from topic to topic to topic, giving the Siddhanta of the Bhagavatam, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught it, topic by topic, which is another way of what Jiva Goswami had done in the Sandarvas. At the end of the book, he writes a, whatever you call it, an afterthought, or a, some kind of, whatever the term is, I forget. And in that afterthought, he says, there's something that I feel compelled to write, although I shouldn't. I shouldn't because it's very confidential, but I'm revealing it anyways. He offers his respects to his Diksha Guru, Bhagavat Das Babaji, as his Diksha Guru, not mentioning Jagannath Das Babaji, but his shelter was Jagannath Das Babaji. He is honoring the initiating Guru's line, and says that Jiva Goswami appeared to him and instructed him that he should write this book. Now, Jiva Goswami wrote the Sandarvas. Jiva Goswami instructed Bhaktivinoda Thakur to write this other book and told him how to write it, and said, I want to give you a special favor. I'll explain in detail the first verse of Canto 1 Srimad Bhagavatam. In detail, Jiva Goswami described this to me, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, and now I'm just sharing it with you. So there's a long commentary on the first verse of the Bhagavatam in Bhagavat Arkamrichimala, which Jiva Goswami instructed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote it for us to hear Jiva Goswami speaking. That's the platform Bhaktivinoda Thakur was on. We don't have any way of estimating the spiritual elevation of such great souls in our disciplic line, as with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Something that I hope will stick with you when you go back to your residence, this very same Siddha Baba, Jagannath Das Babaji, was once asked, could you give some advice how to succeed in devotional service? Would you like to hear what Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj had to say? It's very simple. It's so simple it seems too simple. But listen carefully, and if it goes into your heart, maybe we'll be successful in spiritual life and devotional service. He said, fix the total number of names of the Lord to be chanted daily. That number must be completed before you end your day each day. Even if your life is at stake, do not break that system. If you do this, you will succeed. There will be trouble, but finally there will be peace forever. So, he then went on to explain, there's the best time for chanting. Would you like to know when is the best time for chanting? Prahlad, would you like to know the best time for chanting? Okay. 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. Or from sunset until 11 p.m. He said, nobody should sleep at these times. Lord Shiva comes to examine the devotees of his guru, Lord Krishna, at that time. He had a practice that sometimes he would observe a very austere practice called Purushacharana, specifically for purification or perfecting chanting. He went to Rishikesh during the summer, so it's then nice in Rishikesh. And it was a three-month vrata. Here was the vrata. Rise at 3 a.m. sharp. Take bath. Go inside a closed room and don't come out. All day long, chant until sunset. So this is summer, so it's a long day. And even if you were to pass air or have to pass water or evacuate, then take bath, go back into the room, and maintain mona, complete silence, for 3 months. Take one meal in the evening, take rest, get up at 3 a.m., take bath, go into the closed room, chant all day long. So he was following this procedure, and after 2 months, just by habit, he spoke some words to Bihari, his servant. So he started all over again. After 2 months, he started back on first month. So he completed 3 months of this Purushacharana Vrata. What was the purpose? To perfect chanting. His personal pursuit and his gift to us is perfecting of chanting. So if you'd like to improve in your chanting, offer your prayers to Jagannath Das Babaji that he can be merciful upon you and the rest of us too, please, to become more perfect in our chanting. And it's not just prayers. Following prayers should be some nice vrata. One time, some miracles of Bhaktivinoda, of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. One of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's sons had a chronic disease, not just a short-term fever, but a chronic disease. No doctors could cure it. Jagannath Das Babaji told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, have your son roll in the dust at Yogpith. He'll be cured. So he did, and he was cured. When you were at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's home at Godrum Dweep, you saw a veranda. Did you go upstairs? Look around. Jagannath Das Babaji requested Bhaktivinoda Thakur to build the veranda. He said, because by sitting on the veranda, you can look over and see the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, because now there's buildings and things in the way. But then there was no buildings and things in the way. It was just agricultural fields and the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was just 12 years old, think of somebody you know who's... How old are you? Eight. Anybody here that's 12? Okay. When Bhakti Siddhanta was just 12 years old, Jagannath Das Babaji asked him to write a book. Make a Vaishnava calendar for the sacred days and the Vaishnava holiday, because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a, as we heard, super scholar. At 12 years old, he wrote his first book. The Vaishnav Panchika, which to this day is followed in Navadvipa by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The system calculating our Vaishnava calendar based upon the movements of the planets. Again, Bihari, who was a lifelong servant of Jagannath Das Babaji, he's described as being stout and strong because he had to do so many services carrying Jagannath Das Babaji. One time, they were going through the streets of Navadvip and Babaji Maharaj was being carried in the basket. So one resident of Navadvip came up and offered 1 rupee and placed it in the basket. And Bihari walked 2 or 3 kilometers and Jagannath Das Babaji told him to go back. Let's find the person that gave that 1 rupee. And Jagannath Das Babaji gave the 1 rupee back and said, it's too heavy to carry. He said, I don't know how you carry the burden of so many rupees, but even carrying 1 rupee is too much burden. He had a system. He was letting that person know, what sacrifice are you making? Not that he wanted something, it's just he was understanding the man's heart. And there's no sacrifice like that. It's when someone does something like that with that, has a man of means who gives 1 rupee, it's just an act of piety, it's not an act from the heart. He would keep the donations, people would come here to see him, and there's a little basket. And in the basket, people would put the donations. But he knew exactly how many rupees were in the basket. Not because he was attached, but he was conscientious. So one day he told Bihari, count all the rupees in the basket. And it was the exact number. He said, go and buy rasgullas and feed. Let me make sure I get this right. Feed all the cows in Navadvip. And Bihari said, what about the people? He said, they're not following anything proper. Feed the cows. All the cows should get rasgullas. During Chaturmasya, he had a 4-month vrata. Try this sometime. He would chant all day long, and at night he would take 4 bananas in the evening. That's the first month. The second month, chant all day long and take only guavas, whatever he could eat. The third month, some amount of buttermilk at night. And the fourth month, only flowers from the banana trees. But all day long, chanting the holy name. He was quite serious about chanting the holy name. And while chanting the holy name, accepting physical austerity. One time in Vrindavan, before he shifted here to Navadvip, he was given some bread. So he took the bread and gave the bread to a street sweeper. And the other Babaji's heard that he gave bread to a street sweeper. And they got on his case. Said, how can you do this? You're the leader amongst us. And here's this bhangi and you're giving him bread. And Jagannath Das Babaji said, before Lord Krishna descended to Braja, he requested 88,000 sages to take birth there. And they advented over the ages in low families. These sweepers today are always serving Braj Raj, the dust of Vrindavan. I honor them. And he was so disturbed by the smarta-like consciousness, the caste-like consciousness of these other Babajis. He left Braja and he went to take his residence in a very secluded place. In a secluded place, he had nothing to eat for 3 days. So Bihari, his servant, was in anxiety. I want to cook for you. May I make some arrangements to go get some items so I can cook for you? So Jagannath Das Babaji said, don't be so much in bodily concept of life. Here's a pair of kartals, just chant. So on the order of Jagannath Das Babaji, Bihari just took the kartals and chanted. And after some time, some people came, the nice pile of grains. And then after some more time, some more people came with a quantity of milk. And some other people came with vegetables. And after some time, Bihari Lal had to give away things because there was too much. He would cook and make offerings and serve Jagannath Das Babaji and then distribute the prasad to others. Had implicit faith in Krishna's protection. One time here in Navadvip, there's often flooding. One time there was big flood. There was so much flood, there's no place that Bihari could go to receive alms. So he was in anxiety. How am I going to make food for Jagannath Das Babaji, my master? Jagannath Das Babaji told him the same thing. Take the kartals, chant the holy name. And as he sat right over there, one boat came and unloaded from the boat 20 kilos of rice. Just by the Lord's arrangement. He had implicit faith in the protection of the personality of Godhead. One time Bihari had an illness, very, very serious illness. No doctors could cure it. They took him here and took him there, and nothing changed with the illness. Extreme fever. They arranged for a doctor to come from Calcutta. Nothing broke the fever. Then they asked Jagannath Das Babaji, what should we do? It looks like Bihari might leave his body. Jagannath Das Babaji says, take one tulsi leaf and place the tulsi leaf on his tongue. They placed the tulsi leaf on the tongue in the afternoon, and by the evening the fever broke. And the first thought that Bihari had is, my master hasn't eaten for days because I haven't been able to cook for him. So immediately gathered ingredients and cooked for Jagannath Das Babaji. The deities that we see on the altar, according to some, are deities which he personally worshipped. What are the names of the deities? Gaur Gopal and Radha Giridhari. Can't hear. Just Giridhari. To his Giridhari deity, yes, to his Giridhari deity, very faithfully, like Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, he had vratas. He maintained 1,000 obeisances every day to his Giridhari deity. He had a habit of not leaving remnants. He would scrape everything off his plate. Sometimes he would even eat the plate. Leaf plate, of course. Just to emphasize, he didn't want others to take the remnants of his food. One time when he was eating, a small group of puppies came, little baby dogs. So Bihari was shooing the dogs away. And Jagannath Das Babaji said, why are you shooing the dogs away? He said, because they're disturbing your meal. He said, they're not disturbing. Let them come. Bring them back. I won't eat until they come back. And when he brought them back, then he fed them right from his own plate, saying, they're residents of the Dham. They've not made any offense. They're not like the imposter so-called sadhus and babajis that are doing all kinds of debauchery. They're Dhamvasis. One time someone came here and asked Jagannath Das Babaji, can you describe Krishna's Ashta Kaliya Leela, his eightfold pastimes in Braja? And Jagannath Das Babaji said, I don't know about these things. Go ask Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So the man went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and said, can you tell me about the intimate pastimes of Krishna during the course of his day? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I don't know about these things. You go ask Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So he went to Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji blasted him. You have no qualification. Let's see you sit here and chant the holy name and be peaceful. One time to a Bhagavat reciter here in Navadvip who came to see Jagannath Das Babaji. Jagannath Das Babaji scolded him severely. He said, you're just like a prostitute. To recite Bhagavatam is a business. Those who hear will simply become degraded like one who associates with a prostitute. The man took Jagannath Das Babaji seriously. This is wrong, I shouldn't be doing this. He gave up that practice of professional recitation of the Bhagavatam and he became a Vaishnav. We see often in our pictures of Jagannath Das Babaji, his body hunched over, sitting on a rock, singing, chanting his japa, because in his old age, his body became very infirm, but he didn't diminish his vrata in keeping up his chanting. And again, that place, did anybody go see that place just around the corner where he would sit and do his chanting as well right here, but underneath that tree is specifically where he achieved his spiritual perfection. He left Vrindavan with that wish that he would see Krishna. And by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, one can receive the mercy of Krishna. So that desire of Jagannath Das Babaji was fulfilled here. So it's a very nice place to offer prayers. We're all chanting. We all want to improve in our chanting. And we know when we try to improve our chanting, it's hard because our mind is so conditioned so many other ways than taking shelter of the holy name. But if we get the mercy of one who has such taste and cultivated and cultivated and cultivated throughout his 147-year-long life, he cultivated deep taste in the holy name. Is we can pray to Jagannath Das Babaji that he can be kind upon us, give us the faith in the holy name, be willing to undergo whatever sacrifice or austerity or inconvenience is required in order to become absorbed in the holy name. If we've made offenses against Vaishnavas, may we be forgiven for those offenses against the Vaishnavas and be checked from committing further offenses so that we can come to the stage of perfection in the chanting of the holy name. We can offer our prayers here in that way. Very appropriate in this sacred place. Jagannath Das Babaji.